Okay, just again, even though we said it last week, it applies for every week, future weeks, but just Mesira is a very high stakes bet in terms of, on one hand, if you do it wrong, on the other hand, you have the achrayas that you're laying someone sack in the tzibah, something goes wrong when you should have done it, when Basin should have been meiser the person. So there's an achrayas either way. It's a very chamadika situation to be in. So of course always you have to ask a shalom. What we're doing in the shir is trying to give examples, but a small change in anyone's particular circumstance could change the halacha to a great degree. So always with that note of question. Okay, the din of meiser, like we said last week, that there's really two sides to it. One side is that whether you're asked to be meiser and now you're putting the person in sakana, the nachri is going to take give him to someone else's hands who may not have know when to stop and might come to further things, etc. That's one side. The other side, like we mentioned last week, is there's a dine momentous side. There's if you caused a guy a loss, you were mice to him, and now you weren't supposed to, and you weren't allowed to. And now you caused him a loss. You are responsible for that loss. So a lot of times in the Paiskim and the Tshuvas, it's not cleared out. It's not spelled out clearly. But Achrayim, they bring it out. Is we're talking a lot of times about the issue of the money. For example, in the Ramon, page 2, that was done this morning, so we said, Misha writes to Livroyach, it's 4 lines from the bottom of the Ramon, Misha writes to Livroyach, Lo L'Sham La'akom, which is similar to the children we're talking about here, Masha Chiv V'Acha V'Gila Adava, Elo Din Maisa Sharei Lo Hifsidai, we're talking about the Din Mominus, meaning, Al Dinei Mesira, The person shouldn't be running away. He did a Reuven who ran away was wrong, and he shouldn't be doing that. But again, it's like you're in a classroom and one of the students is chewing gum. You know the teacher doesn't like that, but it's not your job to start telling the teacher that person's doing something wrong. That's between the teacher and the student. Same thing over here. Reuven should be paying his debts. However, it's not Shimon's job to tell the Nachri where Reuven is, how to find him, and how to squeeze the money out of him. But if all the guy did in the end of the day was get back the money that was due to him, so was there any hefsid mammon that Shimon called? Caused? No, as we saw from the tshuva that was just said, there was no hefsid mammon. He didn't. In the end of the day, he didn't suffer any more damage than what was truly he was chayav to pay. He had an opportunity to escape, and now he lost an opportunity, and that's something that in terms of money, there was no additional damage that Reuven caused Shimon. The Shimon caused Reuven. However, there was still us to do that. It's not mutter because there's not going to be a loss of money. It's still us as mesira, just in terms of the chi of mammon, that he doesn't have a din meiser, meaning in terms of the din of money, when it comes to the din mamonis side of it. Also, we said that the counterfeiter, right? He's planning on not getting caught. Right? He doesn't think he's going to get caught, and he doesn't think that if he does get caught, that they're going to do a pogrom on the whole city because he was counterfeiting the money. But even though, as it was said, even though it's not a sure thing he's going to get caught. People can go on with it for maybe years till it's uncovered. But if it is uncovered and there's a chance that it could be uncovered, so then it would cause tremendous damage to the tzibur. That's something that the tzibur is allowed to after hasra with based in, and one of us in cease and desist. Otherwise, we're not going to take the hit because you get caught. It's a big sakana. We're going to be nice to you. That based in has the not only right but they have a chiyuv to watch for the tzibur and to do such a thing. But it has to be a sufficient degree of damage that has some valid, there's a degree of damage or a degree of chance of damage that has to be met. For example, we gave the example last week where the person has the illegal playgroup in the basement. My wife doesn't have one, so I'm not going to have a duffer. Okay, but you have the legal playgroup in the basement. Should they have one? Should they not have one? That's not the question we're discussing. We're discussing where they have one. Now, why do they have the fire codes that you need two exits and all the other codes to have a playgroup? Because you know, chas v'shalom, you know, situations do happen, you know, within millions of people, there's going to be a situation, and had there been a better safety set up, then the damage, api hateva, wouldn't be as tragic as would be as if the codes weren't met. However, it's not something like that. It's not even though it is takana related, right? The reason why they have the takanas with the building codes, etc., is takana related, but it's not a degree of sakana that the person would already have a din of a roideif. Again, the whole hetter here is because the person is being roideif tzibur. If he's counterfeiting in the olden days, they would do a whole pogrom on the city. They would tell all the Jews, you have to get kicked out, you got to leave the town, whatever it is. There's a chance of damage that reaches that threshold that's necessary, as opposed to, let's say, for example, like we said with the play group, even though, yeah, there is a chance of danger, but it's such a remote chance. Something like that, especially over here, where people are sending willingly to the play group, that's not something that we would consider to be. The play group person wouldn't have a din roideif. Not that it's a raya, but if you were going to make $1,000 a day every day you worked in that basement, you would probably go to the basement. You wouldn't think it's such a sakana. But that's not a raya, but each thing, just because a person should be doing it the right way, but if a person is doing something the wrong way, there is a certain degree of that has to be met in order for the person to have a din right day. There is a threshold. It's not just anyone who's doing anything wrong is a right day, because people are going to look at Yidin bad and they're going to associate him with everybody else. Also, he has a din right day. It's not an across the board that's not how it works. There has to be a certain degrees of severity met.
You know that person's being over maybe some kind of ordinance.
Yeah, that's all you said. It's like the person chewing gum in class. The other person is doing something. He should be doing it the right way. But we're not the policemen. We're not supposed to be in charge of telling the teacher that the kid's chewing gum in class. That's between the teacher and the student. The student's doing something wrong, but that's not what we're supposed to. We're not supposed to be getting involved with something that's between the other two people, unless it affects us. You know, I guess if the whole class is going to lose recess, if someone's caught chewing gum, so then maybe that's a more of a communal type of thing. They'd have to go to the Beis Din in the local yeshiva and decide exactly whether they could be told on, I guess. But okay, so the Shulchan Aruch Harav, as was pointed out, is very interesting in that we said that by a yachid, if someone's being mitzar you can't be mitzar. But here, when we said if someone is doing forgery, we're in a situation where it could cause damage to the whole town, where they would kick out the Jews or they would do a pogrom, whatever. So then, when it comes to a communal thing, we said that Beis Din had the right to give him a warning, and if he did not adhere to the warning, to be mice to him. But the bottom of page 2, Harav adds, "V'chein yachid shema'alilin alav beglalai." Even an individual that is now getting the heat because of this forger, yachalayim alahem, he's allowed to tell them, "Ani eini oisez elaplein levada." I have nothing to do with the forgery. It's Reuven is the one who's doing the forgery. So what's the hetter there? The hit is going only on this one guy, Reuven, let's say, who's now being blamed for the forgery, and he's telling on Shimon, what's the heter there? It's an individual thing. And the answer is that once the guy was a forger and he put the whole tzibur at risk, he has a din of a roideif for the tzibur. Now, one person from the tzibur got caught, so he's still the first guy is still a roideif for the tzibur. He's allowed to say it wasn't me, it was Reuven, because the tzibur as a whole already had the heter to tell him it. As opposed to if the person was doing something that wasn't masakin the tzibur, it was an individual thing, then he was only masakin an individual, then the halacha could sometimes be different. I gave a little bit, maybe too many ma'am akarim today, but they're all very important. So I would like to, even though normally I talk out loud, let's turn to page 6, because it's a very important, very nagela maisa. The concepts.
Beis Din hadn't given him hasra yet, so they didn't have a right to be measured.
So the Ramah is in
theoretically, okay. Not considered a right.
Okay, so I didn't bring it down over here, I don't think. But the Ramah in a different Sith says that if there's no time, there's no time to give the guy Hasra, there's an imminent danger and there's no time, you can be Meisa right away. For example, you know, it's Purim night, and Reuven had a little much to drink, and he can't drive responsibly. He's too intoxicated, and he's leaving. You know, he's got his car keys in his hand. He's ready to go out to drive home. So if it's a degree that, you know, it's going to be a sakana to let this guy out on the street. There's no time to go, oh, we're going to get based here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's going to be over before you have a chance. So then person, Api Pashas, would be able, again, if he reached that degree. If he didn't reach that degree, then you're going to be a ghana, but you're allowed to take the keys away from him and have three guys, you know, whatever it is, help him, tell one guy, take the keys away from him and let him know that he's getting a lift home or whatever it is. You can force him to drive. Well, it wouldn't be, again, you wouldn't need to do that. You only, like we said last week, you're only allowed to save the meiser. When we said that there's more kindness in the olden days, not really that applicable today, that you're allowed to kill a meiser, that's only if that's the only way to stop him from being a raidef. But if there's lesser ways, like we said, cut out his tongue or whatever it is, nowadays it wouldn't work. I mean, you have the guy could type it, but I'm saying in the olden days, so you have to do you could do the minimum to get him to stop. So over here, to call the police would be a messiah. Why are you causing the guy all the damage? The issue is, this is a one-shot deal. He, you know, it's Purim. He drank. So you just make sure that he doesn't go out. But let's say the guy's in his car, and he's zooming all over the streets at high speeds, and there's no way to stop him. So he's not, you know, he can't control the car properly. So then there would be a makom to call the police, because you have no other way to stop him, and it's a sakana for the tzibur that has to be dealt with immediately. It's not like chash, you know, something will go wrong one day. It's a current issue. But if there's a way to, you know, stop him otherwise, you know, give him a flat tire, and then he can't drive, and it's all over. If that's in your realm of possibilities, you would want to do that rather than cause damage. Because if you could have gotten away with something else, in certain situations, it depends. Let's say if you judge the situation incorrectly, could be you'll be responsible for the damage. You know, the guy had to spend. The guy was playing around on Purim, and he really wasn't that. He was just fine. You know, he drank a cup of wine. A cup of wine, you're still allowed to drive. But you misjudge the situation, and you say, oh, I saw him with a bottle of wine in his hand, so I'm going to call the police and everything else. So now if this guy spends a few $1,000 on legal fees and loses a few days of work because he had to deal with this issue, and which you judged totally incorrectly, you would have to start shelling out for some of the damage that you caused them because of incorrect judgment. Yeah. Okay. This last shuv is very important. It has to do with a lot of things that let me give you two other examples first. So we said in the second part of the shiur that if someone else was caught because of damage that you caused, that because someone else was caught on your behalf, so then, you know, it's bad mazel for the guy who was caught, and there's no recourse to the first guy. So just one shuva which I didn't want to put in because I try to limit the Maror Mekayimus to the time that we have is a shuva Chacham Tzvi, where Reuven and Shimon both sold a bunch of horses to separately. Reuven was a horse merchant, Shimon was a horse merchant. They sold a bunch of horses to a certain prince, you know, who happened to come to town, and each one, I don't remember the numbers, let's say each one sold them whatever, you know, 20 horses. So Reuven thought he'd pull a fast one, and within the batch of 20 horses that he sold, he put in a horse with, I guess, a bad engine, whatever, you know, put in a bad threw in a bad horse. So Reuven did that, and you know, they both delivered the horses, and then the Nachri, after he got the 20 horses, realized that one of them's a bum horse. Now Reuven got paid in full already, but Shimon was still owed some money. So what the Nachri did is he deducted the price of the bad horse from Shimon's account, and he sent his messenger with Shimon to deliver the balance less the bad horse plus the bad horse he returned through the shliach back to Shimon. So Shimon stuck with the bad horse and shortage on the bill. So he goes to Reuven. He says, Reuven, it's your horse, not my horse. Here's your horse. Give me back the money that you garnered from the prince and make it even. So Reuven says, funny, it's your Ben Mazel. He shoved it on you. The prince should have checked out and see, okay, who sold me the horse? Was it Reuven? Was it Shimon? He just grabbed from Shimon because Shimon owed him the money. He had an easy fix for himself. But really, Reuven had the prince should have found out whose horse it is and then tried to go after Reuven for the money. Instead, he just went after Shimon. So that's even though. Again, you'll see throughout Chayish and Mishpat, a lot of times the way us Balabatim think is the same, like Dinei Torah. A lot of times it's different. Over here, you know, common sense. A lot of people would say, "Well, Reuven did a fast one. He's stuck, and now they took it from Shimon. You know, Reuven didn't lose anything. It was a bum horse to begin with." No. So Chacham Tzvi says the way basically we learned it through today is that the Shimon got an alila from the Nachri because of Reuven. Reuven was wrong. Reuven shouldn't have done it. But it was Shimon's bad mazel. Rabbi Shimon had in mind Shimon's going to lose some money, and Shimon was the man. Now Shimon could say because Reuven pulled a fast one, just like we learned in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shimon could say, "Wasn't my horse. I didn't sell you that horse." Shimon could say,
"It's not a rabbim."
So very good. So one of the other issues is because it's like Reuven is a roidef here, because Reuven did a sure thing. The guy is going to know very soon that horse was a broken horse. So Reuven, Reuven has a little bit of a din of a roidef over here because Reuven is doing this, and it's certain that it's going to get caught.
That's what we saw. That's what the guy says. Bama Machteres or Beuba.
Right. Okay.
Doesn't drive a roidef. That's why it's so.
There's fine lines.
There's so many.
This next tshuva is going to, I think, a little expand about this issue. The next tshuva I want to do. I just very good. I just want to run. Okay, so just tell you before we do the last tshuva, just two cases in the neighborhood that occurred to just give an example. You know, with even day to day things, how you know we get involved in Shalos and Mesira and what would seem right and what would seem wrong. So there was. Like I'm not going to say the location, but we'll just use Lynette as a, you know, because it's a street right here as the example. There was let's say a big house on I don't know 600 Lynette Avenue, and had a big yard, and like was done, you know, like many developers have been doing. You know, they knocked down the big house, and now they build up four houses instead. So now instead of 600 Lynette Avenue, one big house with a big yard, you got 600, 602, 604, and 606 Lynette Avenue, bunch of townhouses. Great, fine, and everything was changed in all the records and everything. Each one gets their own tax bill, each one is, you know, gets their own water meter, gas meter, everything all the same. There's only one problem. The sanitation department never updated their records. So now they went away for the summer, some people, and 604 was getting a ton of tickets because his lawn was dirty, and they're just writing them up, hundreds of dollars of tickets. And who's getting the bill? 600 Lynette Avenue, because as part of the records on the sanitation department, there's only one house there, 600 Lynette Avenue. So 602, 604, 606. Who's the owner? Mr. 600. So Mr. 600 now is sitting there with a bunch of garbage tickets, and his neighbor comes back after the summer and says, "Shimon, I have bad news for you. You got a ton of tickets. It says right here on the ticket, 604, you know, whatever, 604 Lynette Avenue, you know, dirty lawn, wrappers, all the other stuff." And Shimon, the neighbor, so, you know, 604, says, "I have nothing to do with it. It's not my problem. You know, it's your problem. It's under your name. So who's right? Who's right?" So the answer is, right, and now, Balabatish, we think, wait, Shimon, I'm forgetting who's Shimon moving. Moving, let's say, 600. Shimon is 604. Okay. 604. Shimon, 604, you're chayev, Dina Damachusa says, you're chayev to keep your lawn clean. You didn't keep your lawn clean, you've got to pay for the tickets. That's, you know, that's what regular, you know, people would, I think, judge this case. You know, why should Reuven 600 get the hit because Shimon is leaving a bad thing? So really, it depends. If Shimon put out his garbage wrong, put the recycling in the wrong container, and he threw his wrapper's bed and everything. So then Shimon's the guy. Shimon caused that Reuven should get the ticket, so Shimon's on the hook. He has to pay.
He did mazik.
But let's say in our case, he was away for the summer. He left a beautiful, clean lawn, right? And passerby kids threw, you know, they threw their wrapper, they threw their empty soda bottle, whatever. And now Reuven got stuck with the ticket that went on Shimon's thing. Reuven didn't cause anything. He didn't want to be there. This is Reuven's bad mazel that he got stuck with the ticket there. The halacha is that Reuven is stuck with the ticket. So Reuven said, okay, listen, we got to stop this from going forward because it's getting expensive. Three neighbors, I'm getting all the tickets. They try to change it. So Shimon correctly so try to get it changed with the sanitation department. He called up. I agree. You know, it should be changed. Reuven has the right. 600 has the right to change it for the future, not the past tickets. That's water under the bridge. But for the future, to change the records in the sanitation department correctly. And they found out it's not so simple to get things done with the sanitation department. The only way they tried it doesn't work. The lawyer said, you got to hire a special expediter. It's going to cost a certain amount of money to get it changed. So Reuven wants, you know, okay, everyone, let's all chip in, neighbors 602, 604, 606, and let's get it changed. So whose problem is it? It's 600's problem. It's not 602, 604, 606's problem. So 600 is stuck with the expediter bill as well.
But can't 602, my question is over here. See, that's why the halacha is so numerous. Yeah. Can't 600 go to the sanitation department? Let's look at the autos past medicine. You gave me the... But it's wrong. I didn't do it. That guy did it.
So he'd be a meister. He'd be a meister if he did that. Why?
So
because Shimon didn't do anything wrong. Right. 602, 604, they didn't do anything wrong. They're not mazikim.
He violated his obligation. He had an obligation to keep it clean and to have somebody clean.
Right.
He didn't do it.
Right.
So he didn't mazik.
But he wasn't mazik. Right.
Mazik. He and Chazal are taking this whole locha backwards. It's unbelievable to realize. The only time it has mazik, the fact that you got because of me, it's your tough problem. And because of it, doesn't matter.
And he can't go and tell because of my son.
You can't even tell him. You can't say, I'm not...
For the future, he could change it because it's going for the future and he's not causing him any damage. Really, he should be getting the ticket. 604 should be getting his own ticket. So in the future, he could change it. But on what tickets were already booked in, that's why we're trying to point it out that what we would think as a balabas is a lot of times different than halacha. Okay, one other example. I don't want to go past the time, so let me just try to run through just two more things. So what happens, right? They all do carpool at Beach 17th Street, right? They pick up for the high school kids, and the 15-year-old gets inside the car and he doesn't put on his seatbelt and he doesn't put on his seatbelt, and the parent is driving the carpool, goes down Sigurd Avenue, turns on Beach 9th, the cop gets him right there, 15-year-old passenger without a seatbelt. The Dina de Machusa is, 15-year-old passenger without a seatbelt, the driver gets the ticket.
Right.
So, the driver obviously gets the points too. But now, in terms of the ticket, the driver says, your kid, the 15-year-old brains, didn't put on his seatbelt. Please pay for my, what I don't know where they're up to these days, $150 ticket, please. I think it was a mice a few years ago. I think the lady had like three or four kids in the car. But probably we'll make it, just eight. We don't want to make it too tense. You know, just one, right, one ticket. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that it's the same thing like we learned. She got caught, the driver got caught because of what the 15-year-old did. So they bring down halacha that really the driver shouldn't have driven off without making sure the 15-year-old had their seatbelt on. But let's say they made sure the seatbelt was on, right? She made sure everyone was buckled in. And in the middle, the kid took it off. So then it could be that he has a din of a grumma. Or it could be garmi. I was speaking about Chaim Kohn about it, whatever. It could be it's even a garmi on something like this. And then it would be a situation where it's possible that the boy himself, not the parents, because the boy's over bar mitzvah, he's his own person. It's not the chiv of the parents. The boy, the 15-year-old boy, you know, hopefully had a lot of bar mitzvah money. And
let's say it was 12. Let's say it was less than
11. That's bar mitzvah. So then we say, in general, by ketanim, pigiyos, and ra. Dealing with them is bad news because you can't win.
Don't
make it. Okay, with a short time left, I really want to do the tshuva on page 6 because it really is a very, very nagaya to a lot of inyanim and it brings out a bunch of important points. So I'm going to run through it. Shamar Shamati Tzaka Tzanidraf. I've heard, says the Mashal, the cries of the chaste one. Ish mi ben toivim ushmai Moshe bar Eliezer. Moshe Rabbi Eliezer is in hot water. Shetzayik b'man nefesh. He's crying in bitterness. Alechem itayshvei Neistat. Someone from the city of Neustadt. Kamay Rabbeinu Gershon. Reb Gershon. V'kachat var. This is what Rav Moshe is tining. Ech shehishkin Reb Gershon aniskel el tabas achas. V'hu kano min agoy b'chezkes ganov. Moshe did the wrong thing. Moshe Rabbi Eliezer. He bought. Stole a stolen golden ring from a guy, and he went to a different city, to Neustadt, and he gave it to Gershon for safekeeping. Moshe knew it was stolen. You know, the guy was on Fifth Avenue. He opened up his suitcase. Would you like to buy some earrings? You know, and he said, "Yeah, I don't know. It's stolen for sure, but you know, it has a cheskes ganov, right? Okay, it's a cheskes ganov." So v'hishkin like b'ayfinta, and he. Told Gershon, yes, this is hot merchandise. You know, I need you to put it in your safe for me, right? And then a part came to Gershon, looking to buy some jewelry. Yehudi from Gershon. So Gershon sold him the hot ring. Hamamushkin that was. Moshe is tining was just given to him to watch and hold, not to sell to someone else. It's Moshe Reb Lez's ring. Okay, so the pirates now found out it was stolen, went flipped and went coming to Gershon full force. The heat's on Gershon. The interrogators came. What's doing? And this is a stolen ring. So miyad. So what did Gershon do? He saved himself with his friend's life, with Moshe Reb Lez's life. I didn't know it was stolen. I bought it from the Moshe. I had no idea. What a ganav! Now, Moshe had to flee as a fugitive. Nigresh mihayno mebeisa, had to leave all his money, all his household. Lazav v'siladav, run away from his family. Ramatzvin alav, and the investigators, they're all out looking over for him. He's on the wanted list. V'ato atem b'nei kilos kaidish neishtat. And so this is Mashal, you people are Neistat. Tamani ech yotza maisa rabbi b'neichem. I don't understand how such a terrible thing came out from you. Ki afim yichva zeh ha'ish b'maisa. Even if you want to say Gershon, say, no, that story was all wrong. Moshe Reb Lez is telling you bubble maisa. That's not what happened. B'yoy man, Gershon says, shalai yizor yisoy b'zeh shekana min agay, b'cheskes ganov. Moshe never told me it was stolen. So I sold to the government. I didn't know it was stolen. If I knew it was stolen, I wouldn't sell to the government. That's not a good teretz. Why? Safe. You machay b'gami. Gershon's chayiv for all the damage that happened to Moshe here. Why? The lama lalim kam mashkan she yisrael b'lay rishusa. Who gave him a yubishus? The deposit. So it's safekeeping. Who gave you rishus to sell Moshe's item? You sold Moshe's item and now this whole thing came crashing down? You were the one who did bad. If you would have done your job and just stay with it, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Gershon gave it to Moshe as a mashkin.
Moshe gave it to Gershon as a mashkin. Without Rishus Beistin, and without Rishus Beistin, v'afim yichvah b'davar. And even if you want to say that no, Gershon's going to come up with a new story. Shehishkin lay that he gave it to him as a mashkin. Yeah, v'yom shakanomi menu b'chazak azu shu ganav. V'lo shehishkin lay. And saying no, even if Gershon says that.
He bought it from Moshe.
He didn't think he wasn't a deposit. He bought it from him, so he had the right to sell it off, right? Here's a very key point I want to point out. If you bought it knowing it was stolen from Gershon, bought it knowing it was stolen from Moshe, you know what that means? It means your partner's in the crime. So if your partner's in the crime, you're not a near duff. You're not someone that the other guy faked you out and you're stuck. You went into this risky business knowing that you were doing something wrong. So Gershon, you had no right to throw all the burden of and all the peckle on Moshe. You're shutfim. You have to take a piece of this the fall, and this is what happens all the time. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Whoever has to leave, it's 11:15. You can leave, but I'll go on for whoever wants to stay. So I'll try to rush it up. You can't even save yourself with the money of your friend. We'll skip a few lines. Shnei Yehudim. Thank you. Shnei Yehudim, the beginning of the line. Shehiku Zeh, one hit another. V'halacha Shiltim, the Beis HaKnesses. And now the police, they come to the shul and say, you know, these two guys are fine. Tziva Lekal Ligzacheim. And they said, okay, Yehudim, we want you to put a chaim on those people who are fighting, because we don't like fighting in the neighborhood, says the police. Excuse me. They can't put a chayim in the shul on somebody else. If they could pay off the police to keep, if they're not making a chayim, the call is chayv. Why? Because what they had fight had nothing to do with where, how come the call got stuck. That's two separate things. Okay, so we'll just skip a little bit. If one person was the Tsar tried to do bad to him because of his friend, you can't reveal who the friend was. It's bad mazal. And it's not proper that he should say deny everything. And say that that's not what happened. New story. Gershon says, Moshe sold it to me like it was regular merchandise, regular kosher merchandise. He never told me it came from something stolen, this, and then I sold it to someone else. You know, I bought from him and I sold it to someone else. That's normal. So, what's the problem? So, Gershon's going to say, Moshe is the right Dave. He gave me hot merchandise, which for sure is going to get me in hot water. He pulled a fast one, sold it to me like it was regular merchandise. I, to me, mistake a guy, now sold it off. And now, they're all after me. you put the line on me. That's not me. So Yom Shemachlo b'stam, he sold to me b'stam. V'lo he deal like shugana. He didn't tell me it was stolen. V'mkein ayak ve'akasvei. Put a line on me. I'm allowed to chuck it off on him. Me'achas shestam gneivus v'ruva mecheskes sakonu. Because in that time, everyone knew a gneiva. It's just a short thing. It's not a chash. Everyone knew you have a gneiva. You start and it's found out that you sold the gneiva. You're in hot water. Rave chances are that you're a goner. Sakonu l'mkolakom v'lo he deal. And he didn't tell me. The zel lo mistava klal. Says the mashal, you know, I don't buy that. Everyone, of course, when their goals fall, you know, every deal falls apart and every, you know, collusion falls apart. I don't know. I was just doing the counting. I didn't know anything. I didn't know he was doing this or that. Everyone's a tremendous difficult guy. So, no, mashal, even if you say such a thing, even if Gershon would tell us such a thing, we don't buy it. We don't buy it. You don't see in the market, again, in this situation, you know, every situation is different, but in this situation, no one in that time would sell hot merchandise like it's regular stuff. But proper, especially in your city, he knew what was going on in that city. And certainly, Maisha Rav Elazar is believed to say that taina is not true. So fine, you want to go to Din Torah and you want to swear in it that's what happened. He sold to you like it was good merchandise, and now what happened? So then, okay, we'll go to Din Torah in it. However, that's not the case. So what he's writing to the people in Neustadt. You got to get Gershon. He's got to take rid of this terrible thing. Gershon's got to make sure to get Moshe out of legal trouble. So Achiyav al Makamu b'Sham, so he can come back to his house with Betach. And then Gershon, because you were shutif in the whole thing, and now you put all the blame on Moshe, and he got stuck. Gershon, you got to pay for this damage that occurred, and you got to work it out. If you raise a nechem, like the basin will see. However, he doesn't have, like we spanked the chiluk before, he doesn't have a din meiser entirely. This is what Rabbi was talking about in the first year. Gershon didn't do this, didn't tell the guy that it was Moshe's because he wanted to get Moshe badly. He was just trying to save himself, and he wanted to get a true partner involved. He just passed a little too much of the blame on the partner. So he has to pay him back. I'm sorry, I'm late this week. Next week, same time.